This is an amazing opportunity for us to talk each week about Napoleon Hill's success formula, which is documented in the book Think and Grow Rich. Today, we're going to be focused on Chapter 5, Imagination, the Workshop of the Mind, the Fifth Step to Riches. And we have a special guest. And I'm going to tell you, Havilah Malone is an amazing, amazing person. Just a little peek behind the scenes. You know, each week we decide who's going to be the chief navigating host. And before we could even have that conversation, I raised my hand. I said, I've got to be part of this conversation. So please, please be sure that you tune in for the rest of this. It's not going to be just me. Along with me, I've got co-host Ursula Odom, owner of Sula 2 Publishing. Ursula, say hello right quick, and welcome to join the conversation.
Good morning, and I don't want to say too much because Ms. Havilah Malone, oh my God, I just know it's going to be off the chain today. And talking about imagination, I don't know anyone with a bigger and better imagination. So I am Sula 2, and we make old new, but this is a new day with her.
Absolutely. And then next, we've got one of my favorite speakers. I say that she is a speaker that who only requires one name, Pagin. Pagin, say hello and join the conversation.
This is going to be a great day. You know, when you know that you're around somebody that has been using imagination to create a dream life, you know, there's no better representation of the power of imagination than Havilah. For everybody that's here and watching, you are in for a treat. My co-hosts, they have imagined a life of amazing possibilities. So this is a chapter that's deep, deep, deep in my heart. For all of you that know, you can always follow me at Power Women Worldwide. But I'm here for all of you to serve, to joy, and imagine.
All right, Dr. Peter James. Dr. Peter James is a professor. He's a speaker. He's in real estate. He's an entrepreneur. This guy literally does everything, and I enjoy hanging out with him at every opportunity. Dr. James, please join the conversation.
Galen, good morning to you. Good morning, everyone who's listening. So excited to be here with you all. Special colleagues we have here on this panel, special guest, and Havilah. Havilah, thank you so much in advance for joining us. Yes, my name is Dr. Peter James. I am the high performance coach, and I'm excited to be here with you all this morning. Looking forward to a robust conversation about imagination in this chapter of Think and Grow Rich. Back to you, Galen.
Fantastic. And then the lady who's just really kind of made all of this possible. All of us have, you know, individual stories that we share about Miss Ann McNeil, the founder of the International Mastermind Association. Please join the conversation and say hello.
Well, I am excited like everybody else. Again, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life. And I'm excited to be here with my friend Napoleon Hill founder so many things that I imagine. And I'm excited also about the book. So prayerfully you will be sharing that story also from your imagination, if you will. So Galen, I'm just excited to be here and welcome all of our listeners. Thank you.
Well, fantastic. Well, hey, Havilah, we're going to get into a deeper conversation with you. I definitely want to share a little bit about the book first, but it feels awkward to be talking about you and not have you say hello. If you could just say hello to the audience, that would be great.
Well, thank you so much for having me here today. It is super exciting to be here because this is a chapter in which I absolutely love. And the imagination is something that has brought me to where I am in my life and can bring each and every one of us to exactly where we want to be. So I'm glad to be able to be here and be a part of this. So thank you.
Well, fantastic. Well, definitely looking forward to this conversation. And as I said, if you guys are anywhere where you can join us live, definitely follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on YouTube. And if you just have a phone, which seems like phones do a whole lot more than just make phone calls anymore. You can definitely dial in to 661-554-9219, and you can listen to the conversation and hit number one on your phone, and we'll actually bring you in and let you ask a question of Havila or any of the co-hosts, because we definitely want this to be a conversation. So let me tell you a little bit about this book and this chapter in particular, and share why all of us are so excited. You know, we talk, about the fact that we get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Poor Havila got up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock this morning, and that's a commitment that we make every week, several times a week. And I just want to give you a little taste as to why. And if you have that book in front of you, if you have that book as part of your collection, let me just give you a little taste. At the top of page 91, it says, "The imagination is literally the workshop wherein all fashion, all plans are created. Everything that's been created in humankind has been created in the imagination. The impulse, the desire, is given shape, form, and action through the aid of the imaginative faculty of the mind. It has been said that anything can be created which a human being can imagine." And then if you were to flip over to page 92, I'm just going to share some of my favorite parts here. Hill says, he talks about the two forms of imagination. There's synthetic imagination, which is arranging old concepts, ideas, or plans into new combinations. And then he also talks about this idea of creative imagination. And that's where you are in direct communication with infinite intelligence. And usually that communication comes by way of hunches or flashes of inspiration, but it's something totally new, and it's something totally seemingly out of nowhere, and it just hits you. And that is creative imagination. But the part that got me this week when I read this, and I talk a lot about, I'm convinced someone has snuck into my library, pulled out this particular book, and found a way to type these words in because they weren't there before. If you turn to page 101, it says, "If you are one of those who believe that hard work and honesty alone will bring riches, perish the thought. It is not true. Riches, when they come, are the result of they are the result of hard work, but riches come, if they come at all, in response to definite demands based upon the application of definite principles, and they do not come by chance or by luck." And like I said, I read this book, I don't know, cover to cover, I don't know, 8-9 times now, and those words weren't there the last time I read it. So I want to throw this to Peter very, very quickly. And Peter, I just ask you to, if you could just cover all 13 chapters and just kind of give the name of all the chapters and just maybe just a little subheading so that our audience can know how this fits into the larger success formula. And then right after that, we'll begin our conversation with Ms. Havila Malone. Peter?
Yeah, Galen, you've actually provided a phenomenal intro into this entire book right here. 13 chapters, 13 steps, 13 principles that not only can we just live by, but we can actually follow in order to accomplish whatever our dreams and our goals are. So let me start out by reading these 13 steps so that you all who are listening can really gather a little bit of what it's all about. So the first one is desire, which is the starting point of all achievement. The second one is faith, which is visualization and belief in the attainment of desire. The third one is auto-suggestion, which is the medium for influencing the subconscious mind. I love that chapter. Specialized knowledge is the next one. Personal experiences or observations. Of course, today we're talking about imagination, which is the workshop of the mind. Organized planning, the crystallization of desire into action. Number 7 is decision, the mastery of procrastination. Number 8, persistence, the sustained effort necessary to induce faith. Number 9, power of the mastermind, which is the driving force behind this entire text. I love this whole concept of a mastermind. Number 10, the infamous mystery of sex transmutation. Of course, the title speaks for itself, but it's not quite what you think. Number 11, the subconscious mind, the connecting link. Number 12, the brain, a broadcasting and receiving station for thought. And last but not least, number 13, the sixth sense. You've heard the movie, but it's really not even like that. This is the door to the temple of wisdom. Some good stuff, Galen.
Well, fantastic. Well, thank you for that. And, let's just get into this conversation because Ms. Havilah Malone, she is absolutely the real thing. And as I said at the top of the show, we always have this conversation amongst the co-hosts as to who's going to be the lead host for the conversation. And I just couldn't run the risk of one of my colleagues jumping in before me. I had to, I think even before we raised the question, I said, I am the host for this show with Havilah Malone. And let me just tell you some of the reasons why. And she's got a full-on bio, but literally everything that people would often say is impossible, this lady has absolutely crushed. A lot of people say that, hey, I'd love to write a book someday. This lady is a number one best-selling author. Many people say that their biggest fear is not jumping off of a building, but it's public speaking. She's an international public speaker. One of the things that my family and I, we kick around all the time when we watch television, we say, wouldn't it be nice to be an actor and be on one of these shows, our favorite shows? She's an actress. She's been in several television shows. She's been in several commercials. She's an actress. What about if you were to enter in and compete in some sort of pageant? Okay, she's a pageant winner too. Literally everything that people say is a challenge or aspirational, she's found a way to make that a reality. So not only that, I'm a real big fan of Napoleon and Thinking Girl. Well, not only is she a big fan, she's actually christened by the Napoleon Hill Foundation as being one of the top people to understand and articulate these philosophies. So I am just really, really excited. Havilah, please join the conversation so I can stop gushing over you. what are your thoughts? What did I miss about your background? And tell us a little bit about your story. We can kick this conversation off.
Thank you so much for that amazing introduction. And it really reminded me, and actually I pulled out today for our conversation, my Thinking Grow Rich prosperity cards. And speaking of, on the chapter of imagination, it says, because if you cannot see great riches in your imagination, you will never see them in your bank balance. And so everything begins with a vision. Everything begins with us being able to see that which we want and then being able to bring that to life. And from a very young age, there were many things that I aspired to become, things that I wished to accomplish, to do, to be. And even as I have gotten older, my vision continues to grow and expand. And as I learned these principles of success from Napoleon Hill, from Think and Grow Rich, I found keys, I found tools to be able to actually bring these things to life. And so, yes, I am a queen. I am Miss Louisiana Universal 2018. I am a two-time best-selling author. One of the books is actually published by the Napoleon Hill Foundation, teaching the full 17 principles of success. In a book called The Amazing Adventures of Oliver Hill for Children for the First Time in History, and so many other things to be able to grace stages and to be able to, you know, appear on television shows like NCIS New Orleans and national commercials. So all those things that I then envisioned in my mind was able to use these principles of success to bring into reality. And we are so much more powerful than we acknowledge or we even know sometimes. Even Albert Einstein, and I love his quote, he said, imagination is more important than knowledge. It says knowledge is limited, but imagination encircles the world. Everything that we see, the things that you use on a regular basis, the glass that holds the water that you drink, this came as a thought in somebody's mind. And then they took action towards bringing these materials together to create this glass so that you can enjoy that water in a beautiful, you know, crystal goblet. So all the things that we want are within our grasp if we can start to harness the power of our imagination to bring it into existence.
Wow. Wow. I mean, so now, guy, I mean, audience, now you see why I am so excited to be part of this conversation. Every interaction with her has been at this level. So Havila, I've got a question to ask you, and it's really going to help me personally because I've got a 17-year-old daughter that I think the world of. Every talk I give, I'm talking to or about her in some way. What advice would you give to young people? One of your books is specifically targeted to integrating these principles into young people. What's some of the advice that you would give to young people for how they can incorporate this in their lives, and or parents? How can parents introduce this concept to their kids?
A great way to be able to introduce the concept, like I'm a firm believer in be proof of what's possible. Like we have to be the example of what it is that we want and what we want to share with other people. And so as opposed when parents, because a lot of times parents are like, you know, preaching to us or telling us this is what we should do or how we should go about doing things. But when you embody and live those principles yourself, that's the biggest teacher, you know, in lesson that anybody can pick up, because they're going to watch your results and be like, wait, how are you able to do that? Tell me, you know, what your secret is. So I think first and foremost is for us, like even with Gandhi, he said, be the change you want to see. So we have to embody it first. And then two, I think our level of conversation when we speak in possibility thinking as opposed to impossibility thinking is a huge key to be able to help us to achieve the things that we want. A lot of times, and especially in the situation that we're all in right now, a lot of the conversation is around what things are going wrong, where, you know, things are falling apart, as opposed to where the opportunities are. So for young people, I always encourage them to, because as we're younger, our imagination is a lot bigger. Our imagination is a lot more vivid and alive. And as we get older, because we hear so many no's, we come against so many brick walls, and adults who, because they have not pursued their dreams in life and they haven't done the things that they wanted to do, want to try to keep us safe and then start to shut down our aspirations and goals. So for young people, like I encourage them, like dream big. Like what is it you want to do? And even if I can't see the vision of it, I can't see the possibility of how it can happen, I'm not going to poo-poo your ideas just because I can't see it. It was a vision given to you. And anything that we can come up with in our mind, that our mind can envision, we can create. That's the power that we have. And so I am always encouraging young people to go out and find somebody who's done what you want to do. Mm. And then go listen to their story. Go see what steps they took to be able to accomplish that, because it's possible. I'll give you an example. When I was younger, of course, I mean, a lot of young girls, like, they see, you know, queens, or they have their tiaras. And like, one of my favorite movies growing up was The Little Mermaid. And so I always wanted to be like a princess. and I identified with her because she just kind of felt like she was stuck between two worlds. Like, she, you know, was a part of the mer world, but she also loved the people world, and just never felt like she fit into either one of them. And as I got older, because of, you know, traumatic events within my life, because of just going down different paths, like, the whole idea of being a queen, being a princess, you know, I had given that up long ago. And it was in May of 2017, I watched my cousin, who was in the top 10 of the Miss USA pageant. So we were watching it all unfold on Fox television, and watching her go through this journey, and it inspired me. Like, there was this, like, hunch, and that's what it talks about in the imagination chapter. It's like, you will get these hunches, these inspirations, these thoughts that will come to you when you're vibrating at a higher level, at a higher frequency. So watching her journey made me start vibrating at a higher frequency. So this thought came, and I was like, wait, all of those dreams that I had suppressed and pushed down started coming back up. They started surfacing. And I was like, I want that. I'm going to be a queen. And I made a decision that day watching her that I was going to walk that journey, and I was going to wear that crown. Now, I had no idea, because I'd never done pageantry in my life. Like, I had no idea, like, how I was going to bring it about. But the vision became clear, and I made a decision. And then as we use our creative imagination and that information starts to come, that's when the plans start to fall into place. That's where ideas start to come, and the power of writing something down, because I wrote it down on the paper, and I was like, I am going to be a queen. And then information started coming to me, and I started doing research. I researched the different pageant systems. I reached out to past and present queens. I reached out to all of these different organizations so I could start to get the knowledge, and started using that synthetic imagination, pulling together people's information and knowledge and resources to figure out what was the best path for me to make this a reality. And in October of 2017, I was crowned Miss Louisiana Universal 2018, and I became a queen. I am a queen.
Look at you. Look at you. So you were talking direct. You're talking right now directly to Landis Bingham, my daughter. I hope everyone else is getting something out of it, because, you know, this is amazing. Okay, so Ursula, I see all of your side eye here. I can't own this entire conversation myself. What's your question, Ursula? Come on into the conversation.
I knew you were going to call me first, because I'm sitting here watching and listening to her, and she's going right through this book from page to page, being the word and the example, and the question that I had about, okay, what was your possibility moment? And she nailed that one too. So I don't really have a question, because she answered my question. But I have to tell you that seeing how she has unfolded her life based on the principles is just wonderful. So you gave the one answer that I was looking for, but look, tell me about another moment where the possibility was put before you and you made it happen, because that's the business I'm in. I publish people and talk about their stories so that we can see what was possible, so you can, you know, build on that. And what are some other moments?
Yes. Oh my goodness. One that is monumental and will definitely go down in history for me. So I have, of course, a vision board, and I hope that all of you are using that tool to be able to visualize, to see, to hold before you the things that you want within your life. And I remember one of my original vision boards had on there pictures of Napoleon Hill and pictures of Oprah Winfrey, because I used to always tell people that I was the love child of Oprah Winfrey and Napoleon Hill. I'm like, that's my real mom and dad. And I would always, because when I learned of Napoleon Hill's principles and started applying them in my life, I started seeing the shifts and changes. And when I first learned of the principles, I didn't actually even apply all of them, because I wasn't in a place, mental capacity to be able to take all that information and apply it immediately. But that's the beauty of why you continue to go back to the material and reread it over and over, because you show up as a new person. Your capacity for understanding and the clarity continues to expand and unfold, and you're able to apply more and more and more of it. And I had had this vision, and I was like, I am going to go down in history with Napoleon Hill. I was like, I mean, he's my daddy anyways. So like, I feel this connection. And I remember, and Anne was also a part of this. I remember making the decision to go to further and deepen my knowledge of the principles of success by going and getting certified as a Napoleon Hill certified leader. And so there is, it takes, most people about a year up to 3 years to actually go through this entire certification process, because it goes very deep to ensure that you are embodying and living those principles. And one of the events that we had to go and attend was a live in-person leadership certification conference, which was held in French Lick, Indiana, which is actually Napoleon Hill's hometown. And when we were there, we were all given an assignment in the class, and it was to write a one-page children's story based on a principle that was assigned to us. And so we all got this little slip of paper, and it had just a number on there. And I remember getting my slip of paper, and I looked down, and it was the number 10. And I looked at it, and I was like, 10? I was like, that's enthusiasm. I was like, oh, my God, that's my favorite principle. I was like, yes. And so I go, I pick my writing partner, which was Diane Lampe, and we all had just an hour, because it was over our lunch break, to go and write this story. So we go up to our hotel room, and as we're sitting down trying to figure out how what the story is going to be around enthusiasm, these rhyming patterns, these rhyming words started to come, like this inspiration started to come. And so I'm like, okay, this is coming out in rhyme, so let's just go with it. So we start writing it out. We write this story called The Town of Lost and Found. We come back to the class, and all the groups are getting up. They're sharing their story. We get up. It's our turn. We share our story with the class, and the reaction was overwhelming. And we both look at each other, and we're like, wait, I think we got something here. So we sit down. Another group gets up, and they do a story, of course, a different one, but it was on the principle of enthusiasm. And I was like, wait, hold up, that was our principle, because there was only basically like one principle per group. And so I go back into my notebook, I pull out my little slip of paper, I look at it, number 10 is not enthusiasm. Number 10 is actually accurate thinking. Let me show you how universal intelligence, how God works. After the class was over, the then executive director came up to us and said, we loved what you all did with that story. We would be interested to see if you could do that with all 17 of the principles. And we don't know what will come of it, but we have a hunch about this. Like, would you be interested in taking on? So almost like Napoleon Hill, when he got the assignment from Andrew Carnegie to actually write Thinking We're Rich, it was that kind of defining moment. And when I go back and now look at this, God put a blinder on my eyes to see what I was supposed to see in that moment. I was supposed to see the principle of enthusiasm, because we got that story out in an hour. When it came time for us to write the story for accurate thinking, it took us 2 weeks. Two weeks. So when we have a vision, and I had had a vision about being a part of this Napoleon Hill family, going down in history and being able to help bring these principles to life. And now there is a book in circulation of The Amazing Adventures of Oliver Hill that now does that for children of all ages. So anything that we can see in our mind we can hold it in our hands. And that takes harnessing the power of imagination, applying those principles of success. And it's available to all of us.
Wow.
Girlfriend, you have me on fire. On fire. So, I mean, I'm fire. I have my mama, my papa is Oprah and Napoleon. My name is Havala. My name is the queen. And enthusiasm is my game. And I know that I'm talking to the queen today. I know that we're crying from fire today. So, oh, girlfriend, I'm so this is how we need to be, and this is how we had to grow. So I'm excited to be with you, because enthusiasm is my name. I adore the message that you just gave about my mama, and my mama is Oprah, my papa is Napoleon. Wow, that's powerful. Wow, 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 that's powerful. So here's a question that I have for you, because a lot of people don't realize that you did something extraordinary just in the last year, right? And so in the last year, or maybe it was 2 years, that you said, you know, I'm going to be an actress. I'm going to be a star. And for those of you that don't know, Havala is right now on some national commercials, a couple of them. And so you will be watching TV, and you will find yourself at a moment going, ah, and screaming because there she is on TV. So Havala, tell me about that part of the imagination. What was going on for you, and what was the decision that you made to be able to say, this is my time?
What an amazing question. And you know what, that actually reminds me. So in this chapter on imagination, there was an example that was given about Frank Gonzalez and how he wanted to get $1 million to create the school that he had imagined, that he had envisioned for all of these years. And for 2 years, he went on and on just thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it. And it wasn't until he made a decision, and within 36 hours, he had $1 million in his hand. And the power of making a decision. When I was in high school, I knew then that I wanted to live in California. Like, there was something about the area that was just always so drawing to me. And I wanted to actually go to college here, but because I graduated from high school when I was 16. And so I started college at 16 years of age. My parents were like, girlfriend, you're not about to travel halfway across the country to be out there with your young naive self by yourself in California. And so I didn't end up going to college, you know, here in California, but I went in New Orleans, my hometown. But that aspiration, that dream to be out in California, to be in the crux of the entertainment industry, you know, had never gone away, but you just kind of go down some different paths. And so fast forward to, and so it was almost like that same, like the thought that Frank Gonzalez had, where he just kept thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it, but never deciding to actually go about doing it. And so fast forward to 2018, I think it was 2018. Yeah, 2018. And I had a video that went viral because I was featured on Goldcast, which is one of the largest like motivational platforms online. And so this video had gotten like over 1 million views, and it was about pursuing your childhood dreams and bringing those things to life in which you have imagined and wanted for your life. And the response from this that was coming in, and people saying the things that they went back to school for or the things that they were inspired to now do after watching that video. And it finally hit me like a ton of bricks. And it was like, wait, Havala, you've got some unfinished childhood dreams. You've got some things that you have put onto the back burner and played small with for many, many years. And now it's time for you to make a decision. And so it was May 9th, May 9th, 2018. And I got on a phone call with a friend of mine. And that's why you need really amazing people in your life, in your circle. That's why you need mastermind partners. It's why you need a community who can support you and hold you to the fire and keep it real with you. I get on the phone with a friend of mine because I woke up that day and I just felt this like dis-ease, this uneasiness within myself. And I'm like, I mean, things are going good in my life right now. I don't know what this is, why this unrest is. I have this feeling inside. And so after a 5-hour conversation on the phone, 5 hours, what came up and what was revealed was, wait, you are preaching to people, you are sharing with people about doing these things. Your whole moniker in life is about be proof of what's possible. Here's an area of your life where it's now time for you to be proof. So it's time for you to make a decision and move forward. So I made a decision that day on May 9th that I was going to move to California and more fully pursue my television and acting career. And I reached out because, again, I had no plan. I just made a decision. So I reached out to one of my old acting coaches out here in L.A. And I was like, when is your next, like, intensive or course going to start up? She told me it was going to start up on June 29th, either June 28th or 29th, something like that. And so I said, okay, I'm moving out to California June 26th. Like, there was no place, there was no, you know, like, nothing, but I just made a decision, and I created this notebook, and I started, like, writing out my plan, and as things would come to me, new information, new resources, like, I would call, do research, have conversations with people, and guess what? I moved out to California on June 26th. I have been here, you know, since then. I have done so many, like, national commercials, television shows, films, so many things. And it's all possible for us once we become concrete on what we want and then have the faith through action. You don't need to know every step that is in your journey. Like, it's not even really for you to know, because we don't have enough of the perspective to see how it's all going to unfold. We just have to have the faith to take the very next step, which will bring our vision to reality. And so I'm here doing the dang thing and enjoying it.
Dr. Peter, what do you think about Havala?
Yeah, so Havala, you got me hooked on all these stories you got here. So first of all, thank you for that. Thank you for sharing your journey with us, because, again, I love stories, first of all, because I envision myself in them. I envision myself, just picture myself in them and how you were. So kudos to you for your success. Kudos to you for what you're doing, continue to do as well. I want to actually carry on this conversation to a certain extent, especially from Galen's perspective. Galen asked about the kids. And yeah, you plugged the book, and I love the book, and I can't wait to dive into that myself. But now I also think about adults and us grownups who have so many no's that we hear on a regular basis, as you mentioned earlier. We have self-limiting beliefs. We self-sabotage a whole lot. And, you know, doing some of the stuff that you described just seems so monumental. What would you say to them relative to Napoleon Think and Grow Rich, even imagination? How would you impart your knowledge, your wisdom for those individuals who feel like it's hopeless to a certain extent?
A beautiful question. And I have not always been so confident, so bold in my actions. I come from a place where when I was younger, I was, you know, sexually abused. And that wreaks havoc on one's self-worth, self-esteem, and view of oneself. So I had limited my imagination and had limited the things that I thought were possible for myself because of how I viewed myself for many, many years. But it was through use of these principles, also being a part of, like, getting coaching, working in mastermind groups, that it's auto-suggestion that we use to reprogram our thinking over time. You may not be able to go out and make this big display of faith, but little steps of faith, little displays of faith over time accumulate and become massive. And so one of the first things that I have done for myself and continue to do, like, what you feed your mind on a daily basis, like, just like you have to feed your physical body to keep it healthy, to keep it moving, keep it going, you also have to feed this body right here, your mind. And so a lot of times we are allowing just the mass consciousness, the mass conversation to be what we think about, what we talk about. If your words have power, and whatever seeds you are sowing with your words is what you're going to reap, period. And I think the more we can come to understand that, embody that, you will start to be a little bit more cautious about the things that you say, especially to yourself. I, as growing up after experiencing those traumatic things, I never could have thought that I would become a queen, because I didn't even see myself as beautiful. I didn't even see myself as pretty. Like, I would, when I would wake up in the morning and I would go to brush my teeth, I would look down because I hated what I saw in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And it showed up in so many ways of like putting on extra weight. I had like serious like acne breakouts and things because my thoughts were manifesting physically into my body. And so it wasn't until I started to speak differently to myself, because in the beginning I didn't believe it. I would say, you know, you're beautiful, like you're gonna have an amazing day, and like as the words were coming out, it was like, this is a bunch of BS. However, because of all the things that I had read and all of these people who had gone before me who had gotten these results and said this is the path to go about doing it, I'm like, well, I've done it the other way, so let me try it this way and let's just see what happens. And even in Think and Grow Rich, that self-confidence formula is so powerful. And I took on a 90-day challenge where I wrote down and wrote out that self-confidence formula every single day for 90 days. And I would say it in the morning before, when I woke up, and I would say it at night before I went to bed. And that starts to transform your mind. It starts to rewire your neural pathways so it goes down a different path. And the results are showing up for me. The results are here and present in my reality, but it wasn't always that way because I wasn't always applying the principles. So it really comes down to doing the work, and it starts one small step at a time. One small step at a time, even if that one step is just the words that we say to ourselves about ourselves.
Wow, some powerful words today. And I'll tell you, the chat here in Zoom is just lighting up. I just want to share a couple of these. Esther Lambert says, Havila's story is so amazing. Talk about the art of possible, and you are absolutely living that out. Adedra Williams, she says, is there anything that she can say to women in particular who feel lost? How do you get centered to find peace and find direction? And then she said, wait a second, that's the question that Peter just asked. So you are all over that. Jada Williams says, Havila has such great energy. It came across in Black NSA, which is an organization that many of us are part of, the Black National Speakers Association. So happy to hear more from Havila's journey and mentorship. All in the how do you remove yourself from low frequency people or groups to ensure you stay focused? That's another question from Jada Williams. That's a good one. Would you take that on for a little bit, and then we'll bring Miss Ann McNeil in.
That is an amazing question. Thank you, Jada, for that, because that's an important part of your journey. Because whoever you are surrounding yourself with, and even talks about this in the imagination chapter, because when we are in that mode of using your imagination and you are vibrating at that frequency, you are actually also able to influence the minds of other people, which means your mind can also be influenced by other people. So you have to be especially careful about who you're surrounding yourself with, the level of conversations that are happening. And let me tell you, because we make connections, and sometimes it's our family who are the negative people around us that we have to kind of start to separate from and create like some boundaries. And that's why when you start to value yourself, value your time, and value this, it's a stand at the guard of the gate of your mind. when you start to value this property, this real estate here, you'll start to create more boundaries for yourself. And maybe it's when that person calls, my initial reaction would be just to answer the phone. But if you feel that like intuitive nudge, that guidance inside of you, like, I'm not really feeling this, honor that. Don't answer the call. You can always call somebody back. Stay in your mental space or your positive mental space. And two, as you send out love to them, it's not about like hating on where somebody else is in their journey or what they choose to do with their mental real estate, because we all have free will. So you send out love and positivity to them, because if they're not vibrating at the same frequency that you're vibrating at, you guys won't be in harmony with each other, and they'll start to separate from you because they won't feel that resonance. If I'm in a bad mood and I try to have a conversation with you when I'm in a bad mood, it's because I want you on the same frequency that I'm on, because that makes me feel comfortable. I am in a bad mood and you on this high, we're not in the same frequency. And so I'm not going to want to be around you because you're not meeting me where I am. Stop meeting people where they are, and you stay at your high frequency, and all the ones who are not supposed to be there will start to fall off.
Oh my gosh. I know that was Jada's question, but I think your answer was directly to me. So I want to thank you for that. Talk just one more. It's kind of a pivot from her question. What about, how do you handle news? Because I get a lot of negative comments because I say, you know, hey, look, I don't watch news a whole lot. I just can't handle that. How do you manage some of the negative things that you see on the news, but yet still stay informed to the degree that you need to operate in this world?
I love it. Yeah. How do you handle the negative things that you see on the news? I don't see it because I don't watch it. For 2 years, I used to work in news. Matter of fact, right out of college, that was one of my first television jobs, is I worked at a Fox News station. And so especially having a behind the scenes, kind of like an insider perspective of the news, how it's created, how it's used to ramp people up in a certain way, you know, that has also given me a perspective to kind of stay back from it. If anything is important enough that's going on, guess what? I'll find out about it. And I have that belief. And so it shows up. So if there's something that I really need to know, someone will tell me, or it will come to me in some form, shape, or fashion. For me to sit there, because at the very beginning of this whole like pandemic and stuff like that, I remember sitting there and being like, okay, let me tune in and see what's going on and see. And I saw myself kind of starting to recalibrate and get into the frequency of this whole like, you know, chaotic mess. And it was just like, whoa, hold up, Havila, like, you know better than this. Like the principles of success have taught you, the universal laws have taught you that this is not the direction that you want your mind to be focused on. You focus on what you want, not on what you don't want. And so I started to say, nope, sorry, thank you. I'm going to take back my mental real estate. I'm going to take back my focus, because whatever you give focus to, whatever you give attention to, is going to grow. So, and quite frankly, at this point in my journey, I don't care what you think about what I do or don't do. It's not my business. Secondly, I have free will just like you have free will. So if you choose to use your free will in the direction of feeding yourself things that bring you to a vibration that are not giving you the results that you want, that's your choice, and more power to you. But I choose to feed myself with things that keep me at the vibration that bring the results that I want. And I'm going to continue down that path because I know the power of my mind. I know the power of what I feed myself. So for those who are on board with that, come on. For those who aren't, more power to you and peace to you.
Yeah. There's more comments on the side here. Shayna says, yes, I'm done watching the news, and my house is a virus-free zone. I love that quote. Andrietta said, I continue to be inspired by listening to Havila's journey. What advice would you give to older folks? We've talked about, younger people. We've talked about, you know, people kind of our age. What advice would you give to older folks who want to journey onto a new path? Is it too late?
It's never too late. As long as you are breathing, as long as you can choose what you focus on, then you can always choose to focus on the new direction of your life. And so it's the same principles. These are universal principles, like just like the laws of the universe are immutable. So they apply to whether you were just born or whether you are seasoned and mature. So it's really about just taking these principles and applying them to where you are in your life. And first is just getting a clarity or a clear vision on what do you want. And once you know what you want, put it down on paper. That is actually the very first step in making something, because everything is energy. Thoughts are energy. So you're taking energy and you're putting into its first concrete form, physical form, by writing it down on paper. And then from writing it down on paper, you start to think or put yourself in a position, and you can use in Napoleon Hill's Thinking Grow Rich, it talks about 10 mind stimulus or stimuli. So you can use music. So like put on your favorite music and start to see your vision, like create a vision board. So that steps up the frequency of your mind, which will help you to tap into the imagination, which will start to bring ideas to you, which will start to bring information to you on how to make that into a reality or bring you the steps for your plan. Because that's all it really is I get a vision. I keep myself in this high vibration. Information comes to me. I act on it. It becomes a reality. That's the secret.
That's it. That's it. You know, hey, look, I heard about your chance meeting with Ms. Ann McNeil, and I think many of us have these stories about a chance meeting with Ms. Ann McNeil that we acted on. I want to bring her into the conversation. So, Ms. Ann, what questions do you have? What comments do you have about another one of your kindred spirits here?
Wow, and I have my book in my hand waiting to ask Havila. I think it was, the question was already asked, and it might have been Odedra in talking about connections and influences. And I think that most appropriate thing for me would be the use of the imagination when we did first meet. And at Odyssey, for those Odyssey women out there, Havila and I met at Odyssey, and actually I was in the business center asking for someone upstairs to bring down extra copies of the book Think and Grow Rich. And Havila was at the computer, and you can share what happened next. And I say that because, again, this is the power of the imagination. Now, my comments were going to be different until I started hearing, you know, the energy, if you will, and the dialogue around the questions that are being asked by the participants that's calling in on Facebook Live, because we are streaming live and we are also on Blog Talk and we're on Zoom. But I really would like to suggest that Havila and my meeting is the power of imagination. And so, Havila, you can share your version of the story. And my version of the story very simply is that I was at a woman's retreat in the business center, went to use the phone, you know, remember that landline. Everybody remembers the landline, right? Using a landline, calling up to the suite, asking one of the ladies who was with me if she would bring down extra copies of Think and Grow Rich. Now, what would be the likelihood of 1,000 women at the conference, it's a retreat, at the retreat, what would be the likelihood that the two women, I think, who are, I call us Napoleon Hillites, right? What would be the likelihood, and I don't believe in chance meetings, but what would be the likelihood that from this imagination energy and from this subconscious mind work that we all do as we aspire to thinking we're rich, what would be the likelihood that she would overhear my question? And we've been to, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, how many years it's been? Maybe, I don't know how long it's been. It might be 10. It's a long time, Havila. So you can share your version of the story as it relates to this chapter on imagination.
Yes. I imagined Anne McNeil up out of the universe as she imagined me up out of the universe. Like, it was no chance meeting. No. It was divinely ordered for us to meet that day. We were in Naples, Florida at the Ritz-Carlton for that Odyssey retreat. And I remember because I had come into the retreat, I had flown in and arrived late. And so they were already in the midst of doing their thing. And I'm just like, man, I'm missing out, you know, blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, I'll just get some work done until the next session starts. And so I go into the business center. I'm sitting at the computer, and like two stalls over at a computer, there's Miss Anne McNeil, who at the time I had no idea who she was. And she gets on the phone because I'm minding my little business, just clicking away on the computer. And my ears perk up when I hear Thinking Grow Rich. And I was like, wait, hold up. Is she talking about Thinking Grow Rich? Like, what she know about Thinking Grow Rich? and so I overhear her conversation. And then I was like, something in me was like, you know, this is one of those moments to be bold. Like, yeah, you was eavesdropping on that woman's conversation, but this is one of those moments to like say something. And so I was like, oh, you know, so Thinking Grow Rich, you know, I'm trying to like, you know, start a little conversation with her. And I remember her asking me, so what do you know about Thinking Grow Rich? And I was like, how dare she? Because the way it came across to me, and that's why you have to be so careful about where your thoughts go when people say things and when you hear things, because the way it came across to me was like, you know, how could you, you know about, you know, Thinking Grow Rich, you know, like, well, is it even that important? Like, my mind was going like 50 million miles a minute when she said that. And then, but the conversation ended up pivoting and turning, and we connected that day. I found out who she was and that she had been featured in like Think and Grow Rich. She had been featured in Think and Grow Rich for Women. Like, there's quotes from her in there. Like, she is the master builder, like, you know, around this whole Think and Grow Rich concept. And it was just like, what are the chances? Like, you're on this journey of more fully embodying these principles, and for you to come into harmony with this caliber of an individual, for you to come into contact with all these thousand women who were here, this is the person who you connect with, and we form such a deep personal connection that has lasted throughout these years and has only elevated this whole Thinking Grow Rich journey. So that tells you, and you've heard the saying before, when teacher is ready, student will appear. When student is ready, teacher will appear. So when we do the work, it's not our job to figure out the how our journey is going to unfold. It's our job to decide what we want. And I had made decisions. I had planted a stake in the universe saying that this is the trajectory of my life. And resources and people and mentors and friends and masterminds start to show up. And Anne is living proof of that, because she has only elevated my journey in life and helped me to continue to grow. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, Havila, this has been an absolutely amazing conversation. And I'm just so glad that, number one, I get to interact with you more directly. I think even in our last conference that we were in together, I sent you a private message and said, Havila, I just so enjoy the kindred energy in possibility that I definitely see in you. And I'm excited that the audience was able to experience that as well. What are some ways that people can get in touch with you if they want to follow you, if they want to connect with you? What's the best way for them to get in touch?
Yes, I am. I have a YouTube channel at Havila Malone. That's H-A-V-I-L-A-H-M-A-L-O-N-E. You can always email me at ask at HavilaMalone.com. And then I'm on all social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. So everything at Havila Malone. Again, that's HavilaMalone.
Well, you know, I usually whenever I get an opportunity to be the navigating host, I usually try to end with a quote or some point of inspiration. But I feel somewhat ill-equipped as compared to what I've heard from you so far. So what would you leave the audience with? What are some key nuggets that you either live by or that you really wish for everyone who's had the opportunity to listen or watch you over the past hour?
There are no limits except the ones that you set for yourself or that you accept from other people. Whatever it is that you wish to be, you can be. So make a decision and go for it.
And that, my friend, is what we call a mic drop moment. So with that, I want to thank you for joining the International Mastermind Association as we delved into Chapter 5 on Imagination. The powerful, the inspirational Havila Malone was our guest, and invite you to join us each Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time as we walk through this amazing, amazing classic book that every successful person I've ever come in contact with has found a way to enact and activate principles from this book. So with that, I want to thank you and wish you a very, very productive Saturday. Take care.